If you would please be turning your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be considering what Paul has to say there about difficult times. You know, difficult times do come. They have come throughout human history. I think about a passage over in Daniel chapter 5 in verse 12 that as it outlines many of the capabilities of Daniel. It describes him as a man who could solve troubling problems. And troubling times came in Daniel's day. Troubling times came in Paul's day. And I'm reasonably sure that troubling times are going to come in our day as well. And so it'll be good for us, I hope, to think for a few moments about what the Apostle Paul has to say about such times, and more particularly about what he has to say about surviving such times. It can be a real challenge to survive difficult times. I think about my youth, my teenage years, growing up in the 70s, and I'll tell you quite frankly, not all of my friends who I went to church with, not all my friends survived, spiritually speaking. They didn't survive those troubling times, those difficult times. And so this is, I hope, a subject that we can all find helpful to us on how to survive such troubling times. Speaking of my youth and those growing up days, it's always good to see Don and Jean. They were a big part of my growing up in those years, those early years. They were dorm parents at the college that I attended, and I always think about them very, very fondly. I know it's hard for many of you to believe that anybody would think about Don Canavella fondly, but I do. Both Don and Jean were just really good influences and a very dear part of my life. Well, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And just read the first five verses where Paul says this, but realize this. I wish you'd take note of that. Realize this. That in the last days, difficult times will come. Paul wanted Timothy to realize. He wanted him to understand this. And if there's anything I could do in our lesson this evening that I would hope I would be able to accomplish, it would be to convince particularly those of you that are younger, and especially those of you that are young in the faith, that you need to realize the difficult times are going to come. There's just so many times that people become Christians and with the anticipation that this is going to make everything great, and you know, just everything's going to be fine from now on. There's not going to be any problems, you know, now that I've become a Christian and I've become a follower of Jesus Christ. And in many, many ways, that's absolutely correct. There are just many ways in which becoming a follower of Christ are going to make things so much better for you. But I hope I can convince you, as Paul seeks to convince Timothy, that becoming a child of God doesn't mean that all problems and all difficulties are going to be eliminated from your life. And so I hope that you will realize this, that difficult times can come and that you'll need to be prepared to face them. And Paul goes on in verse 2 to give reasons of why this will be the case. He says, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. Now, Paul wanted Timothy to understand that there were going to be difficult times coming because there were going to be people of this type, people of this character. And we might read that and think, well, okay, that's true. I understand that. And Timothy needed to understand they were going to be very worldly people. But I'm not certain that Paul is limiting this just to people of the world. In verse 5, he seems to indicate that there were going to be some who hold to a form of godliness. They give an appearance of being right and of being people who would follow the Lord's way. They hold to a form of godliness, but they've denied its power. They're not really seeking God. They're not seeking to follow the ways of God. They're simply giving the appearance of doing so. And Paul says, you need to avoid such men. And so it seems to me that the implication of what Paul says is that these types of people are not only going to be characteristic of the world, but they are also going to, those who are Christians, Timothy particularly, was going to encounter them among individuals who should have been better. Well, I want to suggest to you at the outset of our lesson that Paul gives to us in these verses and the verses that follow some three factors that are involved in difficult times. And I hope that we can be on guard, looking out for these factors so that we can know whether or not we're facing difficult times and so that we can be prepared to face those times. The first thing I would suggest to you that he has to say about the characteristics of difficult times is that that difficult times will be met in ungodly conditions. That is the environment, the circumstances that Timothy would find himself in were ungodly conditions. And as a result of that, these difficult times are going to be produced. And we won't reread it, but verse 2 through 4. I mean, you could read those over again sometime and just think about it. I mean, you're almost reading the news broadcast that you turn on TV and newspaper articles that you might read. Those are the kinds of things, these qualities and characteristics are the kinds of things that we see playing out in our world today. And we need to be not deluded in thinking that, well, that's things of the world and that's not going to affect the church. The church is always affected by its circumstances. It's always affected by the conditions in which it lives and which surround it. He says in verse 5, as I mentioned to you a minute ago, that some will hold to a form of godliness, but they will deny its power. Godliness will not really rule in their lives, though they give the appearance of it doing so. Well, what is that but an ungodly kind of condition? And so what the Apostle Paul would have us to understand is that when we talk about difficult times, that difficult times will thrive in ungodly conditions. A second thing that he mentions in the verses that follow the text that we've read, verses 6 and 7, is that ungodly teaching will also characterize difficult times. For among them, he says in verse 6, are those, that is, these people that he has said Timothy ought to avoid, that among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These were people who were going to, through their influences and through their teachings and instructions that were ungodly in character, were going to influence others. I think what Paul is telling us simply is that, folks, ungodly conditions and ungodly teaching are twins. They come together. They come as a pair. And that we need to be careful and on guard against being deluded and deceived and misled by teachings that are ungodly in their character. Turn just one page over, perhaps, in your Bible, over to chapter 4. In verses 3 and 4, where Paul continues to write that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, do you think he's talking about people of the world? Or do you think he's talking about people in the church? Well, I'll tell you, the people in the world, they had no concern about sound doctrine and about enduring sound doctrine. He's talking about people in the church, those that are influenced and affected by these conditions and these doctrines that are ungodly in nature. He says they won't endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Well, what are teachers doing but teaching? And these folks, he says, will be teaching the things that these individuals will want to hear. I want to tell you, if you've got something you want to hear, if you've got some particular doctrine that you want to see championed and set forth, you can find somebody who will do it. Doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. Doesn't matter whether it's Bible. If it's something you want to hear, you'll find somebody who will be willing to teach it for you. The next verse, he goes on. He says that these will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside myths. So what Paul would have us to know about difficult times is that they come under ungodly conditions. They come with ungodly teaching. And then thirdly, he says, they come along with ungodly persecutions. Going back to the third chapter of 2 Timothy, he says, indeed, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly, notice the contrast he's drawing here, all who would desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, what part of all do we not understand? And what part of will be do we not understand? It's going to happen, Paul is saying. And it's going to happen today. It's going to happen to you. I'm not saying that you will necessarily face the kinds of persecution that Paul and Timothy and the Christians of the first century faced. I don't know that there are any of us presently who are necessarily going to be in danger of being arrested because of our faith or being put to death because of our faith. That day may come, but it's not here presently. But that doesn't mean that persecution doesn't happen. Persecution comes in a variety of forms. And what Paul is telling Timothy is, in some form or fashion, it's going to come to those who want to live godly lives in such ungodly circumstances. It's just going to happen. It may be snide remarks. It may be job promotions that are lost because you want to live in a godly fashion, then the boss wants you to do things that are ungodly in character. It could be a number of different ways, but it'll come. Paul wants Timothy as well as us to understand that that's the case. So those are three factors that would be involved in the coming of difficult times, and we need to be prepared for them. But now the question that I would raise for you in the time that we have remaining is this: how are we going to survive such circumstances, such conditions? How are we going to survive such challenges? And so let's talk about some rules of survival. What is it that Paul has to say to Timothy in this text that would help him survive the difficult times that he was going to face? Well, I think the first thing that we could point out that Paul identifies is the need for right examples. Look in verse 10, if you would, please. He says, "But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Paul says to Timothy, now here's what you have on your side. Here's what you have that'll help you survive. You've got an example. You've got the right kind of example. And it was in Paul himself. Timothy had seen Paul in the kinds of difficult times that he was going to have to be prepared for. Timothy had seen Paul, for instance, in Corinth. He doesn't mention Corinth here in this text. But Timothy had seen Paul and the way Paul had behaved himself in Corinth. Corinth was perhaps the capital of skepticism and immorality in his day and time. But Paul showed how to live in those kinds of conditions. He does mention three other towns, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. You can turn back to Luke's record, the book of Acts, and you can read about Paul going through these towns and preaching the gospel and how he was faced with opposition. He was stoned to death at one point, or at least stoned, and they thought it was to his death. And they went off and left him, and Paul got up and he went on. He went on doing what? He went right on preaching is what he did. And he continued his travels. But his point, as he writes to Timothy here, and this, by the way, was the time, that as Luke records for us, this was the time that Paul first came into contact with Timothy. This was the time when Timothy began his work as a preacher, a traveling companion with Paul. This was when Timothy's witnessing of Paul's activities first started. And Paul is reflecting back on those early days, and he says, Timothy, you saw how I behaved myself under those circumstances, and you saw how it was that God delivered me. As difficult as the times may have been, now I want to say this to you. That is, I don't know what difficulties you and I may face in coming days. I don't know what difficulties you may face, but I know this, that God is able to deliver you through those times. Not necessarily going to make them go away. Not going to make them necessarily cease to exist anymore. But he can get you through them. Just like he got Paul through these difficult times. But now Paul says as well, just as important as the right kind of example. And by the way, before I move on from there, let me make this point as well. How important it is for you to not only look to the right kinds of examples, but to be the right kind of example. It was good for Timothy to be wise enough to think about and remember and reflect upon the examples of Paul's actions that he had seen back to those early days. But you know what had to happen for that to be possible. Paul had to be willing to be the right example. He had to be willing to do the right kinds of things. It's so important for you to try to be the right kind of example that others can look at and benefit from. But now the second thing he mentions, just as important as being the right kind of example, is to have the right kind of teaching. Look at verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." There are two characteristics of the right kind of teaching that Paul speaks of in this verse. First of all, he says to Timothy, there were things that which you had to be assured of. There were things that you had to become convinced of. Parents and teachers and preachers have no right to expect others to hold on to things for which they have been given no evidence, no proofs. Parents and teachers and preachers are just assuming too much if they come to a point where they think they don't need to convince their children or their students or the members of the congregation of the validity of the things that they are being taught. Timothy had seen Paul's actions. Timothy had heard Paul's preachings, and Timothy had become convinced of the things that he had seen and heard. That was the first part of right kind of teaching. And then the second part that Paul said needed to be a part of this is that Timothy needed to remember from whom he had learned these things. He needed to remember those that had taught him. I think primarily we probably would think of Paul in that role of being the teacher of Timothy. But it goes farther back than that. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul himself acknowledges that Timothy had been taught by his mother and his grandmother, that they had instructed him in things regarding the scriptures that Timothy had come to believe and to hold on to. They had demonstrated an unfeigned faith. You know what that is? An unfeigned faith. Well, something that is feigned is fake. If I just, collapsed up here, like, put on a big show like that, you'd know that was feigned, that it was fake. But if I just all of a sudden collapsed with no warnings whatsoever, you'd know that wasn't fake, that that wasn't feigned at all. And what Timothy had seen in the persons of his mother and his grandmother was an unfeigned faith. That which was genuine, it wasn't fake, it wasn't a fraud. And that he needed to remember from whom he had learned those things. But he had also learned, of course, as we've alluded to already, he had learned a great amount from Paul. I mean, to the point that Paul would write of the relationship between himself and Timothy, he would write of that as though he was Timothy's father, and as though Timothy was his son. That's how close they had become. That's why Paul wanted him to remember from whom you have learned these things. But also, he wanted him to remember that he had learned these things from an apostle of Jesus Christ, from one who represented Christ, a messenger that Christ had sent to speak his message. It wasn't just some itinerant preacher. It wasn't some Jewish rabbi who's passing through town there in Lystra where Timothy had lived. It was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, as valuable as the example of parents and grandparents is, and as much as we need to remember, if you learned the truth from your parents and your grandparents, you need to remember from whom you learned those things. But more importantly than that, we need to consider whether or not what we have learned has come from the apostles. The early church, we're told in the book of Acts in the second chapter, continued daily in the apostles' fellowship and doctrine. They continued in what they were learning from those appointed messengers of Jesus Christ. Are you believing, practicing things that you've learned from those inspired teachers of God's truth? You need to remember from whom you have learned them. And I'll tell you what that'll do. That'll help you deal with situations that come along and some guy sounds real good and you like him and he seems like a good teacher and a good preacher and all of that. But if he's telling you something different from what the apostles taught, you need to remember from whom you learned those truths that you at least at one time held dear and held as being those things that you were convinced of. And the third thing and the final thing that I would say to you that Paul has to say to Timothy about surviving difficult times is that it not only can be done by remembering the right examples that you've had and by the right teaching and doctrine that you've received, but also by the right standard that you have acknowledged. In verses 16 and 17, Paul famously says, "All scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now, a lot of times we might read that the man of God may be adequate, you know, and sometimes we kind of use that word adequate to mean, well, he's mediocre. Well, he's just adequate. That's not the way it's being used here. To be adequate means to measure up to a standard, to meet what is expected. It's beyond being mediocre. You know, sometimes you've heard it said perhaps that you know, it's better to aim high and miss your target than to aim at mediocre and hit it squarely. Well, what Paul is calling Timothy to do here is to aim high. Remember the standard to which you were called. Rely upon the Scriptures, the Word of God, that is able to make you adequate so that you can meet what is expected of you, so that you can be equipped for every good word. That word equipped is a nautical term. And it's a term that they used to refer to the riggings of a ship. To be equipped for every good work is to be rigged for every good work. It is to be made capable of doing every good work, of doing what God expects us to do. Divine truth remains the constant. Whether times are good or whether times are difficult, divine truth remains the constant. Our own personal study of Scripture and coming to understand it and to apply it is our best defense against difficult times. Faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to know how to survive difficult times? I think Paul sets it out for us here. And God help us to be prepared to do just that. Well, I would suggest to you that if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you've never become a Christian, you are in no way prepared to face difficult times. You may, in fact, be living the kind of life that Paul described as he told Timothy. Here are the characteristics that are coming that you need to be prepared to face. That may be the very kind of life you're living. And you know what you need to do about that? You need to stop it. The only way to do that is to give your life to the Lord, believing that Jesus is God's Son, turning away from your sins. That's the way you stop. Then confessing your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and being baptized, washing the guilt of your sins away. That's the way you become forgiven and be reconciled to God and restored to a saved relationship with Him. And if that's your desire this night, to prepare yourself for difficulties that may yet face you in life, then we stand ready to help you. Give that obedience to the Lord, and pray you'll do that while we stand and sing.